This podcast is generously sponsored by the Pillar Network. The Pillar Network is a community of SBC and International Baptist churches that are doctrinally aligned, missionally driven, and committed to equipping, planting, and revitalizing churches together. If you're a pastor of an established church and you're desiring to lead your congregation to plant churches, but you're not sure how to get started, Pillar could be a great resource for you. Reach out to them today at thepillarnetwork.com. Thepillarnetwork.com.
Baptist 21 is a pastor-led voice for Southern Baptists in the 21st century. The B21 podcast will discuss current issues in the SBC with Southern Baptist church leaders. To check out more resources, visit us at baptist21.com.
Welcome to the Baptist 21 podcast, where we want to have conversations about what it means to be Baptist in the 21st century. In this episode, we continue our conversation with Aaron Minnikoff. In the previous episode, we talked about Baptist associating, as well as heard parts of his testimony. In this episode, we'll talk about the SBC at large. We'll talk about the state conventions. We'll have counsel from Aaron on cooperation in the days ahead for pastors, as well as he'll address the Conservative Baptist Network. We appreciate you listening to the Baptist 21 podcast. You know, some guys who are listening to this are probably, unfortunately, in spots where they'd say, giving my time to that association is trouble, or, you know, it's not worth my time, or, you know, there's just different issues that we all deal with based upon geography. What's some counsel you would have for guys who say, well, I see this in the New Testament, I see cooperation, I see associating, but I'm in this spot? Like, give counsel to guys who are kind of struggling right now when it comes to this.
Yeah, that's a great question, because when I first came to Atlanta, there were a couple of brothers who were ready to start their own association, and they were ready to do that and all in. And I wanted to give our local association a try. I mean, I am a pretty loyal guy, you know, and I want to give it a go. And so what happened in Atlanta was pretty, God was kind to provide, to have us here right at the time when we could make some decisions and make some moves that actually allowed us to, I don't like to say take over the association, but we were able to redirect it. I don't know that's not very easy. And I think if you're in a locale where that seems undoable, my first question would be, are you sure it's undoable? Are you a team player? Are you a guy who's willing to go to a meeting and not lead the conversation and be known as someone who's supportive and kind and you know, wants to get to know your brothers, even if they're not 100% on the same page methodologically, ecclesiologically? Are you willing to develop some relationships and give it some time? That's the first bit of counsel. But, you know, admittedly, sometimes the local association is just really embedded. It's not going to change. They've got a brand new DOM. And I do think there comes a point where you just do your best to find some other brothers that you can meet up with regularly. It's not rocket science. And like I said, cooperating, I believe, is a biblical mandate. How you do that, I just think we've got to have a lot of grace in how brothers do that. So if there are a group of men in a city or a town who can only give limited time to their association, but they're desperate to cooperate, I don't see any problem with them meeting on their own. Is that ideal? I think ideally, it'd be great to see all of our local Baptist associations renovated. But in the absence of that, do what you can.
Do you see hope for renovation of those? And we talk a lot about revitalizing churches. What about revitalizing associations?
Well, I think that I don't know the landscape of associations across America. So it really is hard. I mean, I've talked to some guys from California, from Missouri, and I hear some stories about, like, it's really hard and we don't see these associations changing. So I'm not super hopeful for that. Although a lot of them don't seem to be really strong and healthy. So I wonder how many more years they have. Because eventually you just want to stop. If a meeting isn't providing you something, you're going to stop going to it. What I'm really hopeful, though, is that in our generation, where there is so much controversy at the national level, I am very hopeful that pastors will catch a vision for cooperating at the local level. I am really hopeful for that. And I think now's the time. I think that there's a lot of disillusionment at national cooperation. And so I think theologically, we need to begin at the local level. And I think a lot of guys want to do that. And I want to do anything I can to encourage that. That's one of the reasons why I'm encouraged by the Pillar Network, because I see that heartbeat for just getting guys in the same room to talk to one another. And that's convention annual meetings at the national level are great, but they can't provide that.
Right. That's good. And you brought up even just previously, just kind of there's competition can be a barrier to this, but I do think I'm seeing more, the more the years have gone on, I'm seeing less and less of that, as you're saying, and more of understanding ministry is hard. I need brothers to kind of rub shoulders with just the tough aspects of ministry. And so I'm encouraged that this could increase, even if it's just informal and not necessarily formally connected to an association. Let's go a little bit broader then from there, next level up, state convention. Just want to ask a broad question there. You've done been on the executive committee for Georgia. When it comes to state conventions, where are you encouraged and where are you discouraged?
Well, when it comes to state conventions, I'm encouraged that, I really can only speak about the Georgia Baptist Convention. So I'm super encouraged that our executive director wants to get to know pastors of all stripes in the GBC. I think that's great. He is a magnanimous gentleman, loves the Lord, wants to get to know people, and that has been hugely encouraging. I've been encouraged by the way the convention, again, I can only speak to my state, seems to want to, in a sense, change with the times and recognizes it's not all about having as much property as you can possibly have. In that sense, we need to be nimble to be able to meet the missiological needs of our state. That's greatly encouraging. Are there concerns that I have? I think that the Georgia Baptist Convention, like many aspects of the Southern Baptist Convention, there is a kind of a pragmatism where the temptation is to think bigger is better. And, you know, when I go to the GBC, you know, I wonder if counting baptisms becomes sort of the litmus test, instead of asking the question, a more fundamental and I think maybe more biblical question, like how evangelistic are your congregations? Are the members of your church putting themselves in positions where they're willing to suffer for Christ for the sake of the gospel? And doing that, we pray, will lead to conversions. But if we're going to sort of stake our hopes on revamping VBS to get as many child baptisms as possible, I want children to be saved. Please don't misunderstand me. I want children to repent and believe the gospel. I just want to hear more talk about building cultures of evangelism in our churches. And I'm not hearing a lot of that. Mm-hmm. Out of my state. And the second, you know, my second concern is I pastor in Georgia. We have a long history of racism in our state and in every state, but I live in Georgia. It's very difficult as Christians as we're all sort of, I think, realizing afresh in 2020 and 21, how do you reconcile with your past? I don't think the answer is to, in a sense, beat ourselves up. Or I've heard people have asked me, you know, how many times do I have to repent? I don't think that's the right heart attitude. Mm-hmm. I think the right heart attitude needs to be, do we know our history? Are we honest about our history? Are we talking about our history? Are we seeking to get to know all the churches in our state, whether they're Baptist or not, to understand how they've been affected by the history of racism in our state. And I don't know that we do a great job of talking about that. And especially in this day and age where all of our neighbors are having these conversations, I want the brothers and sisters with whom I serve in the Georgia Baptist Convention to be on the forefront of just having excellent gospel-centered conversations about this. And I personally don't think we're there yet in our state. I know that's a lot there, brother.
Yeah, there's a lot there that we could. No, no, that's great. It's helpful. I mean, we could dive into that more. That'd probably be a podcast all on its own, just to try to get at that. It's a lot of conversation there. I just want to ask a couple more questions, just to honor your time. So, mentioned state convention, the Conservative Baptist Network (CBN) is kind of having a foothold here in Georgia, kind of growing here in Georgia. What's your read on the CBN? Now would be a good time to hear from our sponsor, Guidestone. Are your retirement savings on track? Our friends at Guidestone can help you find out. If you're just starting to save, you can access a calculator to see which type of contribution might be right for you. Or if you're well into your working years, they can help you see how increasing your retirement contributions now may affect your retirement savings later. And for those close to retirement, you can project how much monthly income you will have based upon your retirement savings. They really do have a calculator for everyone. Are you ready to get started? Access Guidestone's free calculators at guidestone.org/calculators. Again, guidestone.org/calculators. Check them out today.
I think that from what I can tell, individuals in the CBN have a genuine concern about the direction of America, and a genuine desire for Christians to be at the forefront of promoting Christian virtue and Christian morality. And they don't want to see that in any way compromised. And they don't want our national convention to be captive to the culture of political correctness. And I see that, and I appreciate those concerns. And I'm sympathetic to a lot of what I'm hearing come out of the Conservative Baptist Network, at least some of the brothers with whom I've spoken in my own state. My fundamental concern is it partially cosmetic and partially substantive. At the cosmetic level, I'm concerned with the tone of the conversation. I don't want to sound naive, and I don't know if one can sound overly pious, but I desperately want our words to be gracious. I want us to think the best about people who might have divergent political views. And I think that's important for our reputation as Christians. And that's a word not just for my friends in the Conservative Baptist Network, but for all of us. We can't model our dialogue after the culture. That's the cosmetic concern. The substantive concern probably for me touches on these matters of race. And that's where I think we've got to be able to juggle, in the sense of we've got to be able to address concerns with how churches or denominations are tackling the issue of racial reconciliation. We've got to be able to do that while we simultaneously acknowledge the problem and empathize with those believers in our lives who are saying, I don't feel like the evangelicals or the Baptists understand me, or understand what I've gone through, or understand what brothers and sisters of color have gone through. We've got to do a better job of acknowledging that. And I don't know that the Conservative Baptist Network is listening to me, but my concern is with tone and with substance.
Hmm. And so if I'll get you out of here on this question, another, again, large question, but just thinking, if you get a chance to address the entire SBC, you get a chance to preach or address the SBC for 30 minutes, what's the counsel and encouragement you're giving to the SBC at large, not just state conventions, local associations, but the whole?
I am so grateful that in 1994, that I found Capital Baptist Church. And that's when Mark Dever introduced me to ecclesiology. I mean, I wouldn't have known ecclesiology from kinesiology. And I discovered what it looks like to want to be part of a healthy church where that is not like a brand or a motto. It's a pastor who knows his sheep, maybe not individually, but he works so hard to do the best he can to shepherd the flock in such a way that the members of his church have a genuine profession of faith, where membership is taken seriously, where church discipline is practiced. And that is hard work. I mean, if there's a pastor listening to this, the last thing we want to do is track down non-attending members. I mean, it's painful. They're often not attending for a reason, but that's sort of the work of the shepherd, to go after the sheep who are straying. When 2020 hit, it was a really hard year between COVID and masks and now vaccines, between Ahmaud Arbery and George Floyd and Breonna Taylor, and being at a church that has some diversity. If what had happened in 2020 happened for me at Mount Vernon in 2009, I don't know what my church would be like today. But because by God's grace, we spent 10 years working on making sure to the best we can that our members know the Lord, that we're careful on how we take in members. The type of unity that we've seen now in 2021 is just a beautiful thing. We're not a perfect church. And if I had the opportunity to speak to the SBC, I would just say, this is not, this should be normal. There's not going to be any perfect church. But this type of accountability in local congregations, whether you're 100 people or 10,000 people, this is what we need to strive for with all of our might. And I could talk about that, you know, more and more. But that's, I think, the biggest problem facing the church today.
Tell us, I said one more question, one more. Tell us about your latest book.
Yeah, the book is called Character Matters, Shepherding the Fruit of the Spirit. And it's a book written to challenge pastors and church leaders to be masters of self-examination, because Jesus said the disciple will become like his teacher, and pastors are teachers. And so none of us are going to have perfect character. None of us is going to be Jesus. But I think we might be surprised where our weaknesses and where our sins arise. And so this is a book leading us to meditate upon the fruit of the Spirit from Galatians 5, and not only for our own good, but for the good of our churches, because again, our congregations are inevitably going to reflect us. And if we don't tend to our own souls, we're going to lead others astray. So there's nothing groundbreaking in the book, but I do think it's timely.
Aaron, I always just appreciate your insight, appreciate your wisdom, and even just your tone. So, brother, appreciate you being on the podcast.
Well, so happy to be here. Thank you, brother.
And even just the way you're thinking through associating, we're hoping to kind of recapture that. And so we do think it would be beneficial, obviously, to those that come behind us. So thanks for your work on that as well.
Wonderful, wonderful.
All right, thanks for listening to the Baptist 21 podcast.
Thank you for listening to the Baptist 21 podcast. To learn more about us, visit us at our website, baptist21.com. Also, please be sure to subscribe, rate, review, and share this podcast with others. It would really help us out. If you ever have thoughts or ideas for future interviews, please reach out to us at our email, baptist21@gmail.com. Again,
Thanks for listening to the podcast.